Let's start off with a question. How honest are you with yourself? With yourself being the operative word there. How honest am I with myself? You know, sometimes I think it's a little bit easier to be honest with other people than it really is to be truly honest with ourselves and what is going on deep down inside of ourselves. Because lots of times we like to live in denial or we deceive ourselves or but there's all kinds of stuff, at least with me, that goes on inside there that really needs to be dealt with. You know, the Holy Spirit in this last couple of weeks or this last week, I guess, has really been hitting me up hard on this whole thing. First of all, through devotion. And I was reading there about the Apostle Paul, and he talked about how he was appointed and gifted to be a herald and a teacher. And I thought, oh man, that's kind of what God called me to be a herald, to be a proclaimer, to be a preacher and a teacher and so on. And you know, I tried to do my best with it. And then as I went through that, the Holy Spirit said, do you really try to do your best? How about, do you try to do your best to people who don't know yet Jesus yet? And Alan, if I told you to go and be a herald and to stand on the corner of 100 and 100th and take this sermon I'm doing now and preach it out loud and see what happens to you, would you be willing to do it? And then he didn't let me off the hook. He goes on the next day and we're reading about how, listen, you know, a soldier that's on duty shouldn't get distracted making deals in the marketplace. You need to be really focused on the kingdom's work and not be distracted by other things. Are you ready to be absolutely sacrificially focused on the kingdom of God, Alan? Absolutely, 100%. No distractions. And then not least, he challenged me with this passage that we're going to look at today. And the question I think that God had, at least for me, and I think probably maybe for you too, because I checked it out with some of the staff, said, is this just me or is this a common thing? And here's the thing, it's this. Do I truly want Jesus to draw me close enough to him to be absolutely transform every aspect of my heart and my character, no matter what the cost? Do I really, really want that? I mean, every single thing within me, every thought, every attitude, every action, do I really, really want everything to be transformed inside me, no matter the cost? Or do I sometimes hide behind rituals to keep some part of my heart fenced off from God? Not the whole thing. Not the main thing, but little pieces that I don't want to give up or I'm afraid to give up or whatever the case may be. And do I want to hide behind some things? You see, I can sing the songs and I can read the Bible and I can pray the prayers, but sometimes when I sense the Spirit leading me towards a change that I don't want to make, I can put up little fences around that portion of my heart. I can even make it sound spiritual. Well, that's just not my gift. Well, that might lead to pride. And as I put these fences up, I can hear the Holy Spirit. Alan, be honest with yourself at least. Will you please quit hiding behind your spiritual hiding places? You see, it's a challenge. But the challenge is that we need to get close to Jesus and be transformed. That's just the invitation. That's the challenge. That's the call. That's the desire of God. He wants that intimacy. He wants us close to him so that we are actually transformed, not hiding behind fences, as spiritual as they may sound. So as we read now, Jesus is confronted by a bunch of guys who are into ritual versus relationship. Okay, so let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 15, and let's read the first 9 verses. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if anyone says this religious thing, if anyone says this spiritually sounder thing, if anyone puts up this spiritual hiding fence and declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is, quote, devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus you nullify the very word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you." These are the words of Isaiah now. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." All right, what's going on? These guys were totally into what we might call ritual righteousness. Ritual righteousness. Ritual looking like God. Looking like they're in right relationship with God. Let's set the scene. You'll notice as we've been going along that Jesus' influence has been growing. The crowds are coming, the people he's feeding, thousands of people, all these different things. And now he's no longer just, you know, up there in Galilee in no man's land. Now he's starting to get towards Jerusalem. Now he's getting more popular. And the lawyers, the teachers of the law, were getting a little concerned about this. You see, the lawyers, they understood this. That in order to keep covenant with God, you have to be very, very careful and keep the laws of God. And in fact, they took this so seriously that they said, listen, it's not just the Ten Commandments we've got to worry about and the laws, you can read about them in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, all those things. It's not just that. But man, we don't want to get even close to breaking those laws. So what we're going to do is we'll put a bunch of other rules around those big laws so that you'll come across this law right here. You won't even get within arm's length of breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And so you've got to do that. And now this Jesus, this upstart so-called rabbi from no man's land, is playing pretty fast and loose with those rules. And if he starts doing that, then we're going to start breaking the law and we're going to start being, you know, against God. And the Pharisees, they had a little bit of a different angle, but their concern was the same. You see, what the Pharisees understood is that, listen, we are under the control of the Roman army. And we need God to rescue us. We were supposed to be the free people. Well, how is it that, well, God sooner or later is going to send a Messiah. He's going to send a rescuer. He's going to send a deliverer. Well, when's he going to send them? I'll tell you when he's going to send them. When we are righteous, when we start living right, then the Messiah will come. Well, how is that going to happen? Well, the Pharisees considered, well, we're the answer to that. We're the solution to that. We're going to make sure that people are extra righteous. And so if you go into the Old Testament, you can read about this in the book of Exodus. The priests, before they did a sacrifice, they had to wash their hands in a particular way. It had to run off, water run off, all these different things, all specified out. And then the Pharisees said this, listen, we're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. And so what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that not just the priests obey all of the rules for priests. We're going to make sure that every single person obeys all of the rules for the priests. And you need to understand that every single meal is a sacred, it's a sacred meal, it's a sacred act, and it is. So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that everybody is supposed to wash their hands in exactly the way the priests do, because that's going to be a sacred act. And when we show that we are righteous in this way, when we show God that we're serious about the things he says to do, then he's going to send the Messiah, and then the Rome will be cast off, and then we'll be the apple of God's eye again. And this Jesus guy, he's not booing this. He's not promoting this. He's got all kinds of crazy stuff. He's hanging around with all kinds of wrong people. It's just a mess. They need to get righteous. They need to stop obeying the rules. Then the Messiah is going to come. I loved what Albert Mohler says about, I don't like everything he said, but I like this about what he says about these Pharisees, because I can fall into it too. Look at what he says. There's nothing more seductive and self-deceptive, how truthful are we to ourselves, and self-deceptive than a false righteousness. And therein lies the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not look for grace, God giving us goodness even though we don't deserve it. They didn't look for grace because they didn't want grace. Grace would have appeared to the Pharisees like a shortcut, like you're trying to get off light, like you don't really want to do it. You're not really serious about this faith thing. Oh, man. They wanted to be worthy of having their sins forgiven. They wanted to be worthy of having their sins forgiven. They wanted to live such good lives that really is not much to forgive anyhow. But I did it. I lived my good life. I wash my hands right. And that, of course, is the ultimate dead end according to the scriptures. So here's these guys. And you need to understand they're sincere about this. They want the Messiah to come. They want to obey the rules, but they've somehow got messed up. They've somehow got into this whole thing about following these rituals is what's going to do it, instead of being in this relationship with the Messiah who loves us. And so Jesus hits them up, just as they've hit on him. And he responds and he basically says, listen, you've got near lips, but distant hearts. You're worried about these fence laws while you break, and what's worse, you force other people to break the very commands of God. You don't even get past the first of the Ten Commandments that deals with human relationships. First four, the Ten Commandments, all to do with God. Start with the one with people. Starts off with honoring your father and mother. He says you don't even get to base one with the things that God is really concerned about. Let me explain what's going on here. Track with me a little bit because it's going to get a little bit complicated, but I think I can explain it. So what could happen is a person could make a vow to God. And he could devote something to God. You know, there they are, he gets caught up in worship or something. You know, the music's great, the singing's great, you know, and this is all these different things. And in the euphoria of that, you can make a vow to God. Lord God Almighty, I give you my everything, my house, my wealth, all of that, it belongs to you. Okay, they could make that kind of a vow. And that object then, or that wealth, became dedicated. Okay, I want you to keep this in mind, okay? The word is korban, okay? And that's the Hebrew word for it. It means dedicated, or it means to be made sacred. And it's the root of that word, this is the important part. The root of that word means to draw near, okay? To draw near, like that song we've been just singing about, to draw near. That's what it means. So it's like, okay, Lord, I want to draw near to you, and I feel drawn near to you, so I give you my house. I vow to you my house. That becomes sacred. I give you this vow. Now, the rabbis, they said, listen, if you're going to make a vow to God, you need to take that very, very seriously. Because to not take it seriously is to dishonor God. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 30. Or if you really want to see something, read one that convicted me years ago, is Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You make a vow to God, you have to keep it. And so what they taught was, when you make a vow to God, it is binding upon you and it is irrevocable. You cannot take it back. Why? Because I'm going to give you this fence law. You don't want to dishonor God. And so even if it's a great cost to you, once you make a vow to God, you have to keep that vow no matter what. And we are going to make sure that you keep that vow. So here's Alan, and I get all caught up in the worship, and I say, Lord, I give you my house. It's totally for you. And then Mum runs out of money. And so I come and I say, oh, you know, Mum ran out of money. I'll sell my house. I'll help her out. And these guys just say, oh, no, 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 you don't. You made a vow. You went through this whole ritual of saying, I'm going to draw close to God by giving your house to the temple when you die. You cannot sell that house and look after your mom. That would be dishonoring God. And so they prevented people doing what was right because they had this rule that a vow is now irrevocable. Well, so there was that problem. Then it was just a very short step from there for people who were selfish or greedy of heart. They could then hide behind that vow. Not, you know, some guys started on, I want to do it. No, you can't. Then there's other guys that say, I got to make sure I have the use of this house all my life. Even, no matter what happens to my mom, I'm going to make this vow and I get to use the house until I die. Then the temple can have it. And my greed is masked behind the ritual. Do you see? You see how they got things going? So this is what's going on, and this is what Jesus is pointing out. And so Jesus wants to hit them up, and so he does something I think is just amazing. Remember when I said, what does korban mean? It means what? Dedicated, and why? To do what? Draw close to God, right? And then what does God do in the words of Jesus? These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their lips say we want to draw near, but their heart is far from me. They're doing the opposite of korban. They worship me in vain. In other words, it's a waste of time. Their teachings are merely human rules. You're honoring me with your lips. Oh, I'm drawing near to you. I'm drawing near. No. Your heart is far away from me. And you are hiding your heart from me behind this ritual. It's distance disguised as devotion. And we've got to watch out for that. Distance disguised as devotion. Where we'll use spiritual sounding things to protect. Whoa, baby. To protect my heart and my desires for maybe what God wants to do. And so he says, this is spiritual ritual. It's empty. It's worthless. It's meaningless to me. I'm interested in your internal, in the real, not the external rituals. I'm only interested in truly drawing you close to me so that I can transform your heart. I want to deal with the selfishness or the greed or perhaps the resentment that you have against your parents. I want to deal with that. I want it to change so that you're delighted to sell your house to look after your mom. I want a heart-to-heart transformation. I want your heart to come close to my heart so that I can transform your heart into my heart. That's God's desire. And he goes on to say, let's pick it up in verse 10. So Jesus called the crowd to him and he said, listen and understand the ritual. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and they asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when you heard this? No kidding. He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at that parable of the wheat and the tares? Where it said, yeah, in the kingdom of God there's some wheat, there's some good stuff, but there's some weeds in there that are destructive. Well, he's saying here that these Pharisees, these guys depending only on ritual, they're the weeds. They're the ones messing things up. Leave them. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Now, Peter, explain this parable to us. Are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out from a person's mouth, they come from the heart and they defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. These words of Jesus are a challenge for us to tear down the fences that keep us distant from God. Spending all your effort, says Jesus, trying to keep the rules of washing and all these things, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, following the teaching of these blind guys, these Pharisees, are actually building a fence between you and me. They mask what's going on in your heart. Because you see, the worst thing that could happen for us is to start thinking that we're good enough, that we're like the Pharisees, that we've earned our forgiveness. We've got good enough to be the place where we can come before God and say, okay, God, I'm clean enough now. You can at least look at me. And God's like, oh, you don't get it at all. The heart is what I need to work with because it is broken. It's full of deception. And these religious rituals, they might appear righteous, but you're staying unchanged in them. And the real problem is internal because the heart is full of the things that the rest of the Ten Commandments, if you look at them there, the rest of the Ten Commandments are all against. And Jesus said, what I really need you to ask yourself is, do you truly want to be transformed? Do you really want all of these things in your heart, Alan, to be changed? Do you really want murder out of your heart? Because you remember, now we've got to go back and remember Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. Man, if you're angry with your brother, you've murdered him. If you consider them a fool, you've murdered them. Do you really want that taken out of your heart, Alan? That no matter what somebody does to you, you won't be ongoingly angry with them and you won't get them out of your life? Do you really want that kind of a transformation? Where forgiveness instead of anger is the response that you have when somebody wrongs you? Man, you're going to get stomped on a whole bunch. Yes, you will. Adultery. You said, listen, if you look at a woman lustfully, if you got any kind of fantasy going on in your heart and in your mind other than your spouse, that's death to you. Do you really never want to, you know, when you're ticked off or you want an escape or whatever, you never want to have some kind of a fantasy? You never want to watch those movies? Sexual morality, anything sexual outside that God provides, the escape of pornography, premarital sex, all that stuff. Do you really, really want to make your heart absolutely pure? Well, you don't even have this little escape when you're discouraged or you're mad or you want to self-medicate in some way. Or you don't feel attractive, so maybe somebody else, you know, could make you feel attractive. Do you really want me to deal with that? Theft. Do you want to pay every single dime to the government that you owe, even in the gray area when you know they're going to waste it? Do you want to make sure that in the coffee break, even though the conversation is good, you don't take an extra 10 minutes and steal from the company by being paid when you're sitting down? Do you really want to shortchange your employees who are putting out a little extra for you and you don't want to acknowledge it? Do you really want to never bear false witness? Do you want to be the kind of person that never shades the truth just a little bit to make yourself seem a little better than you are? Or maybe to leave off a little detail to protect yourself from embarrassment? Do you really want to be standing in front of people like you're naked where they know every single thing and there's a consequence and a cost to it when you could just like, I'll leave that sentence off? Do you really never, ever, ever want to say anything about somebody who's hurt you that would sully their name a bit, that would give somebody a bit of a sense of, maybe that's not such a nice guy after all? Or gossip a little bit to make yourself sound a little bit more interesting? Do you really, really want all that stuff dealt with in your heart? Really? When it's a cost. Because if there wasn't a cost, we'd be doing it already, right? We're getting something from it by not being that transformed person. It's these things deep, 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 deep in our hearts that Jesus wants to change. And maybe only Jesus and you know about it because we hide behind sometimes these spiritual even fences that we put up. But Jesus didn't come to polish our behavior. He came to transform our hearts. And the truth is, the only way for our hearts to be transformed is to get ever closer to Jesus and to never fence him off with spiritual hiding places. And I don't know about you, But man, sometimes that's hard for me. Sometimes it's hard for me to be honest with myself and to say, I don't want that part of me changed. I want to be able to be angry at people. I want to be able to hold resentments. I want to be able to, you know, if somebody does something to me, I want somebody else to know that they did that to me. So maybe I want to sneak that word in so that they know that they're a bad guy and I'm a nice guy. It's hard for me to be honest with that stuff. Do I really want to come close enough to Jesus? I mean, really. I mean, I say it, and 80%, 90% of my heart does. I want to come close enough to Jesus that I'm absolutely, completely transformed from the person that I was to the person I'm becoming. Or do I want to hold back 20, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1%? So that I can protect myself, so that I can get my way, so that I can fit in with other people. You know, we can keep our fences. And because of grace, even though we've got little fences there, Jesus, he's still going to love us. We can keep our fences and we can stay safe and we can stay the same. We can sing songs without truly worshiping, without abandon. Because I've got a lousy voice and it's embarrassing to sing. But I can tithe and give my 10% of what I earn and not have a generous heart because, hey man, I give my 10%. Or I can talk about Jesus in safe places but be reluctant to shout it out on 100th and 100th. I can read the Bible every day, but then when it comes to demanding a change, I can decide, no, I'm not going to let the Spirit change me on that. I can pray without really believing it makes a difference or understanding that sometimes my prayer is God's call for me to take action and make the difference. And I can tell, because I do all these things, I can lie to myself and others that, yeah, man, all's well. I sing, I tithe, I talk about Jesus, I read the Bible, I pray. My lips can draw close to God. And my heart can stay fenced off from him. So I can do that, or I can come to Jesus and get close enough to him that I would be truly changed, truly, deeply, amazingly changed. Because he is not after our ritual, he is after my heart. And when I give it to him, he does amazing things. And his invitation to me, and his invitation to you, and to you, is to not settle for rituals that keep you safe. But choose a relationship that makes you new. To get close and be transformed. It's what God wants. And deeper, 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 deeper down in there, it's kind of what we want too. Almighty God, I am so thankful for your grace. And I'm so thankful that no matter how long we have walked with you, your grace just keeps getting poured out. And I'm thankful that you know our hearts, that you're not fooled by me, even when I try to fool myself. But you're gracious. And so you come and you confront us and you say, well, that's good you sang that song, but did you really mean it? Do you really want that intimacy? Lord, you know, we stand with a guy who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And we want transformation. Help our desire. Help our want. Lord, tear down. Help us. Give us the discipline. Point them out to us, whatever it is that your part is, so that we do our part to tear down any fences that I build between myself and you, even if they sound spiritual, even if they look good to others. Help me to be honest with myself with this stuff. Because honestly, God, sometimes that's the hardest thing, is for me to be truly honest with myself on the good side and on the bad side. Sometimes I say, I fool myself that I'm worse than I am, and sometimes that I'm better than I am. It's hard. And so I'm thankful, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts and you will reveal these things. And praise God. Praise God. If I'm truly willing, you will transform these things by your power. In the name of Jesus. Amen.